Today on Wings, Frida Pigru of Ghana, a newly elected board member of the Africa region of AMARC, the World Association of Community Radio Broadcasters. Pigru will also represent West and Central Africa in AMARC's Women's International Network.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
In the 1990s, the World Association of Community Radio Broadcasters, known by its French acronym AMARC, developed a Women's International Network, known by its English acronym WIN. AMARC's regions choose their own representatives to the Women's International Network, which is chaired by AMARC's Vice President for Women. At the 2015 AMARC International Conference, Frida Pigru was chosen to represent West and Central Africa to the Women's International Network. Today on Wings, she tells reporter Lydia Adjono about her election, her work as a community radio station manager in a rural area of Ghana, and the issues she faces in recruiting more rural women on the air.
It's almost 5 o'clock in Ghana, Accra. We are just on coffee break after the election of the General Assembly and the International Board. Everybody is happy. And right now, I just want to talk to one of the newly elected and the youngest board member of Africa, who is from Ghana, and one of the youngest community radio station head. So I will just want her to call her name and which radio station she comes from and what she does there. Good evening.
Good evening, Auntie Lydia.
Yes, give me your name, your radio station. What do you do there?
Thank you so much. My name is Frida Pigru. I come from the Upper West region of Ghana, and I work with Radio Freed, that is Foundation for Rural Education, Empowerment and Development. I started as a young presenter, that is a reporter, and then right now I am the station manager of Radio Freed.
How long have you been on this position?
I was appointed in earlier February this year, after serving almost a year and a half with the station.
So before then, where were you?
Before then, I had just completed senior high school and was teaching for just a year, and my contract expired and I wanted to go to school. I applied to attend to do a French program at Mount Mary's, and then I didn't get the admission, so I decided to move away from where my parents were in the capital district to our hometown, which is a village around the border area, and I developed the interest of doing radio, and that was how I joined.
And the Upper West region of Ghana is almost bordering Burkina Faso. Some of the communities along there are not far from Burkina Faso. Do you speak French?
A little, petit-petit.
Petit-petit.
Oui.
So I think you will be able to really serve on African board as the West Africa, Central Africa rep for WING, and that will enrich your French. How do you feel about that?
Mommy, first of all, I think it is a privilege that at this age I should take such a position. It is an exposure. But on the other side, I feel there is this heavy duty on me to really deliver. Because at this age, if I am not able to deliver, so many opportunities might not come again.
When you were proposed to stand for this election, what came into your mind?
When the suggestion came that they wanted to nominate me and then put me in the board, first of all, I was surprised that among all the ladies and the women in the hall, they were proposing me. But on the other hand, I also saw that, no, if they are really appointing me, then there should be a reason. And based on that reason, which I didn't know, I decided to take up. And then I knew or made the decision I was going to stay with community radio for a longer period, so I needed not to worry about how long I can stay with the community radio. My only prayer was that those who proposed me will still give me the support. For whatever reason they saw in me and proposed me, I thought they would still give me the support to do it. I knew I wouldn't be alone if I take up the opportunity as a young person, and that was why I agreed.
Now, how much do you know about wind issues and, for that matter, the West Africa, Central Africa issue?
Okay, when I came for the AMAC conference in general, I didn't know much about AMAC. I only heard AMAC 11 conference, but I never knew. Getting to the conference, I realized it was a bigger umbrella and a family with so many other branches, like the AMAC Africa, the WIN, and all that. But from the reports we had from AMAC Africa, we realized there were not so many activities going on in AMAC. So that told me that there is something wrong somewhere, because there were not enough reports. I saw that there was no much information from the past. So if I'm going to be added into another section, it's going to be a new beginning and a new life altogether, especially with activities. So I just had to take it as a new beginning. But honestly speaking, I never heard anything about AMAC or WIN before I came. Mm-hmm. But from my judgment on the reports from the AMAC Africa, I knew there were not many reports in the past, and I saw it as a new beginning altogether.
So WIN is more focused on women or gender issues. What are your experiences in doing women programs or covering women issues?
So far, basically, I can only talk about the experience I have back at home. Mm-hmm. Where I am, the women culturally are not given the voice. And the few women who are in top positions are the only people. We have only two women who can come to our radio station and confidently speak on radio. But the rest, if you follow them up onto the communities, into the fields, they shy away from the recorder unless you find other means of letting them talk, like singing, like drama, and all that. So even community meetings, the women don't talk. The new initiative that is now introduced into the communities is the women groups. They have women groups that they contribute money and save. So those groups are their only points of contact. So now women issues are not really well portrayed in our communities. And I think I have this intention that using this office, learning more and more from the other women already in, and then picking up a few role models, in which you are one of them, at least I'll be able to make an impact in my mothers and my aunties, grandmothers back at home, so that they feel part. But I know you can't do this educating only the women. You need to also include the men. Let them know. Because if you put all your resources and energy in letting the women know their rights, the men wouldn't understand and there will not be peace at home. So it is educating the general public on the role of the woman and how it's important for the woman to show up in the public domain and make decisions, so that when the men understand the need, they themselves can cushion the women up. Yeah.
You said there's only one woman who comes to the radio station.
Two women.
How did you get them? How did they get into, and they are able to, and what do they do? You just want to say a little bit about their story?
Okay, yes. First of all, these women are the few educated women we have in the district. And then one is a nurse, and the other happens to be a teacher. Now, they started coming to the radio station because when I started to do a female program on the radio station, I realized that there was nobody. It is men coming to sit and discuss women issues when they don't really know how the women felt. So at one time, I had the opportunity to talk to one of the women at the hospital, and I introduced myself to her and told her I wanted to invite her for a program. So at first she was feeling reluctant to come, but I told her that, oh, it's nothing. I just want you to be a role model to the other women. When you start it, others will see and would be interested to start. So she promised to come, and the first week we organized the program and she didn't come. I felt very bad, but I had to just play a few thanks to few repeated interviews to cover up. And then the second time, I met the other woman, and she said the first woman came to her and told her she was invited to the program, but she was scared. She has never been to the radio station before. So I told them that, okay, maybe they can talk to each other. She can convince their friend so that they can both come when they are two and come. At least we find another gentleman, because they said without a man, the men in their homes or their husbands will feel that they have just come to talk against men. So we had to lobby for a man to come and help and support them to talk about the issues. And that was how we got a man and then those two women to be the panel for the program that day. And after that, the feedback from the community was good, and then we decided to keep it running.
So do you do programs at the community level?
Sure.
How do you do that?
Sure. First of all, they have to be a tipple from somewhere, or we have a perception, or we have an idea. So first, we try to find out which of the communities these events happen and how we can solve. For instance, the latest event we had was when there was a land dispute between two communities, in which we had a youth intervention to solve the issue. But first, we met with the women in the community. I remember I went with one other woman, Madame Rosalind Batukun, who works with Purdue University. So we went to the community first to organize just a short meeting as a visit to appreciate their various arts, those who are preparing dawa-dawa, those who are weaving baskets, local baskets. We spoke to them about their work, just building a rapport. And after that, we asked them to talk to their colleagues as we want to have a meeting with them. And when we went, They organized themselves very well, and we decided to discuss the issues. But they were reluctant to talk. They said it's men issues and they don't want to talk. So we had to let them understand that it is men issue. But when the men do this, the effects will come to you, the women, and your children will suffer. You are the women who pay your children's school fees and take care of the family. So they understood, and then we decided to ask them whether they have songs in the traditional language which can say some of their stories. And they said yes, they have, and they can even compose some at the moment. And at that moment, they started composing the music, and the words and the issues were coming out. And after the music, we took that opportunity to just talk to them, and it was easy.
So you now can go to the communities, and they are ready to share their stories, and then interact with you without any fear.
Yes, just a few. But we are trying to reach and go deeper into the interior communities. A few are really motivated. And one other thing, we have so many issues, so that's why we can't reach out to many. But anytime we have the resources, we just go to the few villages. Sometimes the other villages, when they hear the other women speaking on radio, then they even come themselves saying that they want to also sing. And through that, we move along.
So what is your coverage like?
We cover about four districts. We cover four districts with more than, it's a whole big area. I can't really tell the population.
So like the four districts is like the local governance coverage area of a geographical area.
Yes,
and
four districts.
It goes as far as towards the border of Burkina.
Communities immediately after the border in Burkina. So, you know, they are Dagari speaking communities, and we broadcast in Dagari, in Wale, and in Lobi. So the Dagari speaking communities in Burkina understand, and they call in into our programs, they participate. Just that we don't have the resources to visit them in their communities. But they call into our programs a lot.
On Wings, you're listening to Frida Pigru, manager of a community radio station in rural Ghana. The interviewer is Lydia Ajono, herself a manager of a rural community radio station in the same country.
Okay, now, what are the issues apart from the women not shying away of participating or discussing programs of the radio. What are the other women issues that you cover or do you do programs on?
We also do programs, you see, apart from the fact that they try to shy away from the mic recorder, sometimes we sit down and then we see some stories that the wives are the slaves on the farms. They are the people who do the farm work, they farm, yet it's the husbands who benefit.
So, how?
Yes, the women will go, the family, the husband, will, first it is the woman who is supposed to request land from the husband. The husband will give the land out. She will go and do the clearing. Sometimes, if the husband is able to help her do the clearing, that's all. She will go and sow. She will go and then weed. She will go and apply fertilizer, if any. She will do everything. She will harvest and process. And then the husband will come and decide which ones to take to the market and which ones to maintain at home. And even when she's to take some to the market, it is the woman that will carry it and walk to the market, sit in the sun, sell, and at the end of the day, come and account the money and give it to the husband. And the husband will determine what the money should be used for. In fact, they benefit little from the work they do, but yet they get the satisfaction that it is their duty and responsibility.
Why is it so?
It's culture. When you ask them, they tell you that, oh, they're our husbands. They own the house and the land. They own us. So we can't. They don't understand what it is to have your own rights, to be somehow independent. They are still dependent on the husband because he is the family head and owns the family, and they don't really have a say. In a latest community meeting, we went with a village Domaje women. When we recorded their audios, and you asked them, they said, everything we do, we have to seek permission from our husbands. And if they say no, it is no. If they say yes, it is yes. Because we asked them why. They say, because they are our husbands. They own the house and they own us. They dowried us. There is nothing
so
we can do.
So it means the dowry they pay is what they think makes the man their head, and it seems like the man own them.
Yes, because as it is now in the culture, if you happen to get separated from your husband, you have to retain the dowry. You as the woman or your family will retain the dowry. So legally, the husband holds the woman in a way because he goes to pay the dowry of the woman, and the dowry is really something big, because if you are in your husband's house and your husband didn't dowry you, you are not his wife. So because of the dowry, culturally it is legitimate, it is legal, you are legally a property of your husband. That is why in the marriage the children belongs to the husband, and that is the patrilineal system. Yes, so in this regard, culture made it in a way that the woman accepted that, yes, it is our responsibility and everything the man does, he is right because he owns us. Unless you're a woman who is ready to go and pay off the dowry and go and sit at home. So because of this, many women want to save their marriages. So they accept whatever their husbands do to them. Your husband can even beat you, and the next minute you still get up and follow him to the farm and work. But one thing the radio is really trying to do, especially with Madame Rosalind, she helps us. We go into the community together.
Madame Rosalind is a gender expert.
Yes, she is a gender expert, and she has worked a lot on those issues. So now she comes and assist us. We go to the communities, we have community meetings, or when the women themselves are having their meetings, we go join them and try to sensitize them, to give them education, to know that they have their rights. At least we need to have gender equality, and most of them are responding positively to that. And right now, some say that yes, they can now work a lot, get money to pay their children's school fees, because that is their priority. And that is one way the radio is helping a woman out there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so with this heavy task, how many volunteers or staff do you man in your radio station?
Well, before I joined, there were only men, and we had about 12 men without any woman. I went, and then the number became 13, and I was the only lady. And since it is volunteer work, and we don't get funding much to fund this project, so it is just on voluntary basis, and I am the only lady who goes out, and then I have two other gentlemen. When they don't have much work, they follow me to the field. I have tried to get so many ladies to add ladies to help with their work, but they keep saying they don't have the interest because there is no money in it, because they need money to do other things. So basically, the radio station staff is just about 12, yeah, and I'm added to the number, and we are now 18. But on this particular project, it is just me, madam, and then some other two colleagues. When they have time, they help out.
Okay, so now let's look at two or three issues that you have actually, with the radio station that is in perspective, have actually moved, and the community with the women and the youth, you can proudly say these are the areas where we're able to make inroads.
Okay. So first of all, we have something we call the mass education on social and civic rights. In this particular point, we try to first our contact point when we meet with the women in the community. We try to research and know what they are thinking about, whether they have rights or not. And then from that, we try to educate them, try to organize local workshops, let them draw out their minds and draw conclusions, and then learn new things from what we explain. The other thing is on financially. They have this thing they call, we have with the women saving groups that in the local language they call Dagli. And these groups, the women come into the groups to contribute. It's kind of a saving group, and at the end of the year, they share the money, or if someone needs a loan. So we try to educate them on the importance of saving. And right now, we have men even joining in the process. Now, another issue is on agriculture. We realize it is the women who do all the work on agric, but when some organizations are coming to support women, for instance, with fertilizer and things, it is the men who come to register, collect them, and even sell it to others. So on the part of agriculture, we have this program we call Women in Agric, that we develop a program from the beginning of clearing to harvesting and processing, and even we've developed that particular program into a local one that after the harvest we try to enrich our culture. We get the women to tell us what they can prepare, innovative ways of using these food products from the farms. So from a particular crop, they can tell you the number of meals that you can prepare from a produce and all that. So basically, these three are our achievements so far.
So just two or three challenges that you are looking forward and in your plans in future as a radio station and the head of the station.
First, the challenge is trying... that I need a team. We need a bigger team to handle the situation. If you look at the communities we want to reach out, and then the personnel that are working in it, it's just a few. So we are just hoping we could get to in any way to build the capacity of some other youths, especially ladies, to add up to the job, so that we'll have a bigger team and have a bigger impact. Now, another issue is with resources. Most of these communities are situated in areas that are not motorable. If you don't have a motorbike, you can travel to those places. And then it's a problem because their station doesn't have motorbikes. Sometimes I have to go to friends to beg for somebody's motorbike, fuel it, and go to a community. Sometimes you'll be at a community and the person will be calling you to bring their bike and all that. Now, apart from that, we go to the village, we educate these women, all right. But sometimes when you are going, they look at you, they are expecting you to help them in something. Sometimes they even come to the radio station to say that we need this, we need water, we need this in our community, we need capital to start a business, we need this, we need that. And you as an individual, the radio station cannot afford. So, well, in the near future, we are trying to see if we can reach out to donors and organizations, write a few proposals. If it works, then it will improve our work and we'll reach out to more. We want to reach out to more. Yes.
Thank you so much. And as Amak Wynne, representing West Africa and Central Africa, and from Ghana, how do you look into the future?
Mommy, I look into the future and I think that with hard work and dedication, I will be able to have a change, to make a change in the lives of others, not only in mine. The exposure, the experience, the learning, a lot will depend on me. I think I need to produce, give out a lot. And then in Ghana, it's a large community from in Africa, a larger community for that. And I know people will be looking at to see what the little girl, the small girl can do for West and then Central Africa and for Africa at large. I don't make promises, but I think I can work hard to that. Thank you.
Thank you so much too. And on behalf of Wings International, Wings International News Gathering team based in Canada, and our senior woman, Frida Warden, we wish you all the best and sure we are always with you.
Wow, Frida Warden.
Yeah.
Wow, my namesake.
Yes.
I look forward to meeting her someday.
One day. She has never missed Amak, but this time, in fact, she has not been able to. So we have been conveying these interviews and then on sending messages to her. And she's very happy that she's not missing, because Amak and Amak Wynne is so dear to her heart.
Wow.
So we wish you all the best.
Okay, so I'm also saying hi to all the entire crew and to you, Auntie Lydia. You've been a role model in GCRN. And I also want to say to my namesake, Frida Warden, I want to say hi to her and I wish to see her one day.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Lydia Ajono and Frida Pigru, women from two different generations, both managers of community radio stations in northern Ghana, and both members of GCRN, Ghana Community Radio Network, as well as AMARC, the World Association of Community Radio Broadcasters. As you heard, Frida's station could use additional funds, and Lydia's station is in dire need as well to replace their broken broadcasting console. If you'd like to help these stations, you can get in touch through Wings. Our email is wings@wings.org. At the same email, wings@wings.org, you can request copies of shows from our archives. And please check our daily International Women's News feed at facebook.com/wingsradio. Wings thanks all our supporters, including your local community radio station, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, whose new book is titled The Gift in the Heart of Language, The Maternal Source of Meaning. The Wing Sound logo is from Libana's album, A Circle is Cast. I'm Frida Warden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.